With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, our hymns this morning are hymns number 901, 589, 722, 551, 394, and 924. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is God's Economy. Welcome, and may Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn this morning, hymn number 901, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty. Congratulations to Nelson and Susan Geyer as they celebrate 40 years of marriage today. We thank them for sponsoring our
podcast. Great to see you all here this morning. I do see a lot of red getting ready for this evening. I do pray that everyone has an enjoyable night with family and friends and an opportunity to have a fellowship. It's going to be a great evening. And we are also very pleased that we are able to gather here to hear God's word and to receive his many blessings, his forgiveness of sins, especially at the fellowship of this altar. I was informed that the hymns on the board are not correct today. They were not changed over from last week, but if you follow your bulletin, those should all be ready. We begin with our opening hymn number 901.
Thank you.
congregation please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm follows Psalm 1. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. With you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul writes, saying, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day. Peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, being in my mid-20s, I have a lot of friends who are still on the dating scene. Some are just now entering relationships, some are getting pretty serious, and others are getting married. And from an outside perspective, it's kind of fun to watch. Because what you learn observing all of them is that love can make people do crazy things. I had a friend at the seminary who met a girl over Vicarage. They dated for a few months, and then he had to return back to St. Louis. But from that point on, you could just see just crazy love constantly flowing from him, perhaps even foolish love that clouded his thinking. Every chance he got, he would go back to visit her, a 14-hour drive one way. And so whenever we got a three-day weekend, he would drive a total of 28 hours just to spend a single day with her. He made so much sacrifices to woo this woman. You know, the time commitment and the financial burden. Love can make people do crazy things. And for them, it worked out, right? They're now married and they're living together. But for others, we learn that such love often can go one way. There's another friend who would pour everything into his relationship. He'd call her, take her on dates, promise to care for her, console her, look after her. But the love only ever went one way. She just was not interested. No matter what he did, no matter what he offered, she just did not love him in return. And after further pursuing, loving, and offering care, he finds out that it's kind of all been in vain. Again, there's this crazy love. It will even bring someone to pursue and give everything to a person who would not love them in return. And you know, we can look at such people and just probably almost unanimously say that their actions were pretty foolish, right? They were just blinded by love, and they were just not in the right mind. In fact, this is probably one of the last things that we would expect God to engage in himself. For certainly, the Almighty Creator, the God of ultimate power and might, certainly he would not pursue after a loveless bride. And yet, that is exactly what we see. That is who God is. That is what God does. If you can say anything about God, you can say that he pursues a loveless bride. In our first reading this morning, we hear the words from the Lord. And he uses some rather strange language. For it's as if God here opens a court case against Israel. He calls upon the mountains and the hills to be his jury. The earth and all of creation are to see what he is bringing against Israel, his chosen people. They've been there since the beginning. They can even bear witness to all of the works and the wonders of God. The earth has been there since before man even came upon the scene. Before we walked along the ground, the hills had seen God bring man forth from the dust. Certainly creation itself could give testimony to the works of the Lord, and yet God brings his own case, and he lays it bare for all of the mountains to marvel at. And he asks his people, "What have I done to you?" And he'll go on, "I made you a great nation. I rescued you from Egypt. I brought you out of slavery. I sustained you, and I provided you with food and drink in the wilderness. I gave you good, godly leaders to help you and guide you. I constantly provided and cared for you. I pursued you with all of my gifts. I gave you my blessings and a love that surpasses all others." And now here it seems like God is almost grieving over all of the good he brought. For the blessings have seemed to only have made Israel twice of an abomination as before. They've received God's gifts, but then they would immediately accept them and turn around and rebel against him. They would just accept his gifts and then live their own way. After God lays out his case, we see Israel asking, "With what shall I give to the Lord?" Israel's response here, it can be interpreted in two different ways. The first being just one out of annoyance and frustration. It's as if to say, "What do you want from me? I never asked for your pursuing. You want me to bow before you? You want me to give you a burnt offerings?" Israel's questions start from common expectations, and they quickly grow to extraordinary and absurd requests. It's as if you want more than a burnt offering, God. Would you be satisfied with 1,000 rams? You want to go ahead and just take my whole livelihood? You want rivers of oil? You want my firstborn son? What will it take to get you off my back? What would satisfy you? I just want to live in peace. I want to get away from you, and I want to do things my own way, and I'm certainly not going to go all in this relationship as you did for me. What do you want from me? This interpretation of Israel is not all that far-fetched. We play the same game today. Now we ask God, will going to church once a month be enough? How about going to church once a week? Will that be enough? Or if I put money in the offering plate, will that satisfy the Lord's requirements? We do the exact same thing. Does God just want everything from me? What will it take to get him off my back? Because honestly, I just want to enjoy life and do things my own way. I want freedom, I want rest, and I want enjoyment. And God keeps demanding more and more from me. The second way to interpret Israel's response is as if they actually feel the guilt of their shame. God truly has done all of these great things for them. He has rescued them from slavery. He has provided them with daily needs and has taken care of them. He gives us everything, and we have taken it all for granted. I have accepted from the Lord's hand his boundless grace, and I have immediately turned around and just blasphemed his holy name. For certainly it's true that every good gift comes from his hands. Every good and gracious thing comes from the Lord, and without him, we would have already have breathed our last breath. I've accepted goodness from the Lord, but following, I have only rebelled and cursed him in return. And if that's the case, Israel's response can be interpreted then, well, now what? Can I just bow before you? I can offer you burnt offerings. Oh, will that repay? Will that forgive me my sin? How about I give you all that I have? I can empty my bank account. I will even give you my firstborn. Will that be enough? Anything so that I would not have to suffer from the wrath of God. What would it take to please the Lord? I will do whatever it takes. Regardless of how you interpret Israel's message, God's response remains the same. He has told you what is good, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Not that doing justice in any way would somehow earn your salvation or save you, but rather that these are fruits of a person who is in love. The fruits of someone who is in a proper relationship with God. Someone in love does not see their actions as work. Someone crazily in love does not see driving 28 hours across the country as work. It is just naturally done in love. And God just wants you. He wants to love on you. And that you would just lighten up in this joy. That is why he's constantly loving, pursuing, caring, and providing. He just wants to bring you into this relationship in which you would walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God, fully admitting that you are lost without him. Right? In humility, lean upon him. Trust in him, for you are but dust of the earth. You've been formed from this ground, and by nature we are frail and fragile creatures. Like a vapor in the wind, we are here one day and gone the next. And compared to the mountains, our lives are but a speck in time. We need God's sustaining hand. We need him to pursue us. For without his grace, without his mercy and love, we are headed straight to the ground. Without him, our home will be forever in the grave. And yet, through his great acts of mercy, he has made a way to give us life. In the extreme exaggeration, Israel asked if their firstborn son would be enough to get God off their back. But what they didn't see all those years ago, that it wasn't their son that God wanted, but instead God would offer his own. Out of such crazy love, Jesus journeyed to the cross and carried your guilt and shame. For the rebellion and ingratitude, for taking advantage of all of God's grace, Jesus dies for your sin, and he dies that you may have life and have it to the full. In Jesus and in our walking humbly with him, we are not on a journey that leads to death, but we are on a pathway to life. Death is not our own, but we will be raised from the grave. These mortal and frail bodies will be changed into perfection. We will be glorified, for walking humbly with God is trusting in this sacrificial death of Christ. And leaning upon his promises is the means through which man will be saved. The day is coming quickly that we will see all of the faithful again raised from the dead. We will live as recipients of God's crazy love for all eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. congregation please rise? Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the great mercy which you have showered upon us. You have pursued us with a love that exceeds our human understanding. As you gave your Son to die for us, and as you continuously provide us with our daily needs, we pray that our hearts would grow in thankfulness to you. Pour out your Spirit upon us that you would create in us a love for you, your word, and for our neighbor. And may we praise you all of our days, Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we pray for the countries and governments of the world. We call upon you to look after and care for your creation. As countries are in turmoil and as governments are divided, we ask that you continue to promote peace and prosperity for all people. Lead us to walk humbly with you and to love and care for all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, we thank you for using us here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church to bring your life-saving grace to our communities. We pray that you continue to use our radio broadcast to reach the hearts and ears of your children. And we thank you for all who support this outreach with their prayers and resources. We pray especially for Nelson and Susan, who do so today in honor of their 40th anniversary they celebrate today. We thank you for the blessing that they are to our church, and ask that you continue to bless them with the joys of marriage and a life of faithfulness to one another. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. And God of love, we lift up to you this morning Chad and Kayla as they go in for a planned C-section later in this week. We ask that you keep both mother and child healthy and strong. We ask that you keep them secure in their faith as they look to you as the giver of all good things. Lord, in your mercy. And great physician, we pray for all who are hurting in mind, body, and spirit. You are mighty in all of your ways, and as you sustain your creation every hour of the day, nothing catches you off guard. You know all things, and we ask that you continue to work in the lives of your servants. This morning, we lift before you especially Pat, Luis, Carol, Ronnie, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, Vicky, Neil, Connie, Dorinda, John, Judy, Mike, Marjorie, Erica, and Debbie. Gracious Lord, according to your will, we ask that you bring them to faith and full strength, that they might still worship you here on this earth. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him unto death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. and your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, give us to eat and drink. We receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 924. For your gospel's joy.